Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
We return to Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Brought to you by Digitex. Service for all brands of print equipment in your office?
Yeah, Digitex does that.
Digitex.ca on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer, Brendan Escott with you. It's 1:34 in Edmonton. Busy show today. Brad Treliving, general manager of the Calgary Flames. Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers. Mark Spector for the Horses and Horse Racing Alberta from NHL Hockey and Rogers have already been on today's show. A lot of focus on the Oilers in Calgary. We'll continue down that path at about 146, 147 with Jack Michaels. But the Edmonton Oil Kings tonight host the Lethbridge Hurricanes, and then they have Red Deer here at Rogers Place on Sunday. Tickets available at oilkings.ca. And the Oil Kings made a couple trades this week, one of which, relative to WHL terms, is a blockbuster. And joining us on the line right now to talk about that is the general manager of the number one ranked team in junior hockey in the country right now, Kurt Hill. Kurt, welcome back to Oilers Now. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Bob. How are you?
Good. You've been busy.
It's been a busy week. It has been.
All right. You know, when Luke Prokop gets traded, given that, you know, he was one of the first affiliated players in a major professional sport to come out as gay over the course of the summer, a lot of the focus maybe from what we refer to as P2s and P3s, sort of casual fans of the sport, might be on that end of it. But for the P1s, who are like the hardcore all-in people that know junior hockey, this is a big ad for your hockey club from a hockey perspective, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. It's obviously the player that, being in the division, we've got to know extremely well what he can bring with his game. And as a local kid, too, you know, getting to watch him play growing up and knowing a lot of the local players on our team that know him as well, we feel, yeah, he's going to bring a lot. He brings, obviously, a big guy like that, right shot, who skates so well, is rangy, you know, brings offense, third-round NHL pick. Yeah, it's adding a really big piece to our back end, and we're extremely happy we were able to get the deal across the goal line.
Well, it's interesting because you've got off to a 3-1-1 start, but you've only scored 12 goals in five games. You did make a trade a couple of years ago to get Kubasek out of the U.S. division, and he is a 20-year-old for you and also a European. Is the lack of offense, 2.4 goals per game for five games, is it stylistic? Is it you don't have enough generation from your forwards, or were you struggling a bit to transition the puck up the ice?
You know, it's partially the transition game. I think we, that's part of it. You know, I think our forward group too. It's having so many guys gone to NHL camps. I don't think they've truly found their rhythm yet. And there's new line combinations, and guys are playing with different guys this year, and they're trying to find it. You know, it doesn't come from a lack of effort. I still think, the top half of our lineup, our forward group, needs to, support pucks better and, push each other a little harder, which I believe is what they did this week in practice. And I feel, they're knocking on the door to get the offense going here. I think it's just going to take a little bit more time potentially to start the year here, but they're a pretty experienced group. I think they'll find it here.
All right. So you got a 6'5" right shot D and Luke Prokop. He's just joined the team here. Is he going to get power play time, or is that going to be more a role for the likes of Dohaniak and Kubasek?
I think all three of them will be on the power play, to tell you the truth, this weekend. So I know they'll probably rotate between the two units. But, we have two pretty strong power play units with the group we have here right now. And, I'd envision all three of those guys to have reps throughout the weekend in the power play, for sure.
Do you think Luke's, it's interesting, because fully well the Oilers had a lot of interest in him in the 2019 draft. The 2020 draft. Do you think he's got with all due respect to his time in Calgary, can he be pushed a bit more, do you think, as a player to maybe, exert? I don't want to use the term, I saw him play a couple times last, and I wondered whether or not the governor needed to come off for the player there and whether or not he could get to another level.
You know, I think he can. We think we can get more out of him as a staff. You know, that's going to be... know, Brad and Luke's job to work with him. And, you know, the one thing I do think with his game, I think it really suits our style of play with how we want to transition pucks quickly, and we want our D joining the rush and, you know, coming in late and trying to create offensive chances. So I think his style of play will suit our game really well. And with that, hopefully that brings a little bit more confidence on the offensive side, and we see a little bit more of that side of his game. But at the same time, his, you know, his ability to play big minutes and be rangy and cover ice is, you know, a big asset, his defending side of the game as well, that, you know, we need him to do also.
You gave up a couple of 2003s in the trade, or in terms of Keegan Slaney, a former first-round pick of the Oil Kings, as well as Blake Huard. But you did not give up one of the two number ones that you have for the WHL Bantam Draft, which is going to take place in December. Was that a key for your team, because it allows you perhaps the flexibility to add a little bit more as the season goes on?
Yeah, it's a key. It is. It's, you know, those two picks. And if we don't move one of those picks, it's huge, you know, for the organization. We'll be moving a lot of guys on next year to pro hockey, or guys on to university. So it's, you know, at the same time, we're going to have a little bit more spots on our roster to fill next year. And with those guys being able to enter our lineup right away, at the end of the day, using those picks and picking players wouldn't be the worst thing for us either at the end of the day too. So we still have our first round pick in 2022 also, and so there is flexibility to potentially do some more here. And yeah, it's nice not to have to use one of those, but we did give up you know, Keegan Slaney, a former first round pick for us, who is probably another 2-year player in the league after this year, and Blake Huard, who was a listed player, but a guy that fit really nice in our lineup. As you know, in this business, Bob, you gotta give to get, and you know, when we have an opportunity to do something special here this year, you know, we're gonna give a little bit to get and add to this lineup.
Well, you are the number one ranked team in Canada right now. Part of the reason why is you had two first round picks in this year's draft, two top 15 picks, and one of them, Sebastian Kosa, has gotten off to a great start. He's the reigning WHL goaltender of the week, but you ended up moving one of your two backups. Can you tell us a bit about the rationale in making a trade for a pick?
Yeah, having the three goalies here, you know, last year we had the luxury of doing it with it being a bubble season, and you know, we were able to bring the third goalie in, even though he wasn't going to play games. He was able to be practicing with our group and develop, and that was great, you know, for Colby Hay last year. And then I got some starts for the organization. I think it just, you know, it came down to, you know, the age really more than anything. And, you know, Hay has played extremely well for us too in the preseason and through camp. You know, he's a guy that we think is very promising to potentially be the number one guy for us here once Kosa graduates, and be able to run with it for a few years. And we do have our 2005 year goalie Alex Worthington signed as well, who we're extremely high on also. So a little bit of an age situation with that. And at the end of the day, Hay did have a really good camp and, you know, proved a lot to us as a staff that, you know, we got high expectations for him moving forward.
And so you moved Knight in the trade. All right, so let's look at you mentioned the forwards and Dylan Guther. Safe to say, and this does happen sometimes with guys coming back from NHL camps, he was Arizona's first rounder, ninth overall. He's had a quiet start to the season. Is that fair?
Yeah, that's fair. You know, it's not a lack of effort or anything, and he's hit some crossbars. It's, you know, he's got to get to the harder areas a little bit more, and, you know, open up some ice for himself and get that shot off. And, you know, he's getting opportunities. He's just, you know, maybe squeezing the stick a little bit too tight, or it just hasn't, you know, the pace just hasn't got back to him here at this level yet. So it's a little bit of a slow start, but he's an elite player, and we have all the confidence in the world here that he's got to figure it out and get going here soon.
All right, Jake Neighbors, the first rounder from 2020, still up with the St. Louis Blues. I think, is he eligible for the World Junior team?
Yes, he is, yep.
All right, so I mean, you could end up having three guys between Neighbors, Guther, and Kosa on that team. That's if St. Louis returns them back. That said, a fourth-round pick that you have, NHL fourth-round pick, has been maybe your, is it fair to say, the European guy you got, is it Jacob Demick, has been very good for you so far this year?
Yeah, fourth round pick to Vegas. He's probably been our most consistent forward from our top end group through the first five games into the season here. So we've been extremely happy with you know, whenever you pick a European player in that draft, you watch video, you see them live a little bit in an international event. So you take that for what it is too. And, you know, we're really pleased with the way that he's transferred his game over to the North American game here. And, yeah, he's a guy that, you know, we didn't know for sure if he was going to be able to play a top six center role right away. And, you know, he's definitely proven that he can and drive some offense for us as well. So he's been a really big add and has had a really nice start here in North America.
And you get Jackson, I believe. Is Jackson Weeb back tonight?
Jackson Weeb comes back tonight, yeah, from his four-game suspension. So it's, you know, again, adding that experience to the lineup here tonight just makes us, you know, that much deeper through our third and fourth lines.
And, I mean, he's got some physicality. He got ran over Joel Sexsmith in the opening game of the year. Those two, I believe, were staying with the same billets last year. They're friends. That must have been a tough scenario. Kurt, we wish you the best luck tonight against Lethbridge. And Sunday at 4 o'clock, Red Deer is going to play their third game in a span of about I don't know, 50 hours or so. Good luck this weekend in those two games.
Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
All right, and again, for the listeners, there are tickets available. Oilkings.ca for both Edmonton's game tonight against Lethbridge and Sunday against the Red Deer Rebels. Tickets still available for the Oilers against still a few stragglers out there, the Oilers and the Calgary Flames on Saturday night. Jack Michaels coming up. NHL hockey on Rogers broadcaster as well as one of the two Oilers radio play-by-play voices. This is Oilers Now.
This is Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer on Oilers Radio, 630 CHED.
Royal Pizza, Pizza Past, and so much more. Edmonton owned and operated for over 50 years for a menu and a list of their 14 Edmonton area locations. Go online at royalpizza.ca or download the Royal Pizza app from the App Store. Stauffer recommendation, Royal Pizza, Mediterranean Chicken, Brendan Escott. Are you still a fan of the Houston Texans, by the way, Brendan?
Silently, yeah. Yes. I am in the shadows right
all
now.
All right, there you go. He's a fan of the Texans. Jack Michaels, as we all know, is a fan of the Cleveland Browns. He is one of the two Oilers radio play-by-play voices and also will be starting the – he's got the call of the game with yours truly tomorrow night, along with Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, and Cam Moon. And then Jack is with Louie and Gene on Tuesday for the Oilers' encounter against Anaheim on NHL Hockey and Rogers and Sportsnet. And Jack joins us at this time. Jack, how you doing?
Good, Bob. How are you?
Good. Who do the Browns have this week?
They've got the only undefeated team left in the National Football League, the Arizona Cardinals. Who? First time since 1974, the Cardinals are 5-0.
Now, was Jim Hart the quarterback back then, or was
he? Was yeah. He was, and Terry Metcalf, and Roger Worley, and geez, who did they have at wideout?
Who was that little safety that was a real hard-hitting safety, the little guy, Larry?
Larry Wilson, I think, was retired by then.
You thought he was retired? Okay. They called him a hawk?
I think he's retired by 74, I believe so.
Okay.
And then they also, back then, the Cardinals had a wide receiver by the name of Bobby Moore.
Yes, and now is that Ahmad Rashad?
Correct. Very good, Bob.
Well, there you go. Get one right once in a while. And then Lomax went in there late 70s, right?
Even early 80s by the time he solidified himself, but yeah.
Yeah. All right. And the Ravens have got the Chargers. Do you know, you might be talking to a guy dumb enough in his fantasy football pool. Somebody took Tua Tagovailoa before me in the draft, so I took Herbert with the next pick. And then I wanted to have all Alabama graduates in my skill positions, so I flipped. I got it like a second-round pick. I traded for Tua and got a second-rounder for Herbert, and Herbert's having just a great year. So not good, but that's who the Ravens are.
Are we
playing.
Sure all those guys are graduates of Alabama, or are they alumni of Alabama?
Why do you have to bring that up all the time? All right, just for that, I'm going to put you right in the spot because Zach Cassian spoke today. Jack, does fighting, you know, people, what happens is that there's a recency bias and people get, you know, people got a little nervous seeing Zach Cassian on the ice, just like last year with Jujhar Khaira.
Well, I asked him about the ear hole situation because I said, Zach, the one thing, and I don't want to editorialize here, I said, Zach, it just looked odd the way he was reaching for it. And Zach not only said, number one, I don't think he did it deliberately, but Zach said, you know, it's not a bad idea to pop the helmet off because, of course,
you don't
so
break
many
your
guys,
hand.
As you well know, you know, hurt their hands badly on the visor, or you know, he's actually it's not the worst idea in the world if you were to use that as a tactic in the fight. But no, he did not think McEwen deliberately popped it off, although both you and I had raised eyebrows when we saw replays of that fight, because we were like, we just hadn't seen that before. And I don't think you had either, and I know I hadn't.
Well,
where a guy, you know, seemed to lunge at that particular area two and three times and got it off. And of course, when Zach had him in trouble and he wrestled him into the ice, then it became a factor because Zach had no helmet on.
Well, guys definitely, as you know, tried to dust off each other's helmets back in the day.
Not that way.
I think and Cassian did get the jump on him at the start of the fight. Like Zach rushed him. I think Zach McEwen was just in a defense.
He was in trouble. I mean, he ate three or four left hands right off the hop.
So simple question. I mean, I still think the players need the option of policing themselves. What about you, Jack?
When I listen to the players, and not just Zach Cassian, when I listen to the skill players, when I listen to any player, any coach, Bob, I don't remember talking to a guy in my 12 years who's come right out and said, I don't want fighting in the game anymore. I don't remember talking to a player or coach. I'm sure there's been a few out there. Maybe my memory is glossed over, but I don't remember it if it's happened. I think a lot of people outside the game, including some former players, have said it, but not those currently in the game. I've never heard someone step up and say that. And so if none of the players that are playing today, fighters, non-fighters, hybrids, whatever, if none of them are saying it needs to come out, and most of them are saying I still think it has some place in the game, then my inclination is to, you know, if this is a player's league, and I think first and foremost it should be a player's league.
And you should listen to players.
Then you should listen to the players. And that goes for some of the officiating things we've heard from over the years. I think, you know, when Merrill Lemieux called it a garage league, that had an impact. It reverberated to the point where we still talk about that quote 30 years later. And I think some of the things that Connor McDavid has felt comfortable going public with will also have an impact.
Yeah.
And I don't think a negative one. What group of officials is going to want to take on the best player in the game? That's a losing battle. So I think anytime the players have something to say, that's what I'm going to listen to first and foremost.
All right, Jack, we only have about 3 minutes because we had five guests on today's show. So I'm going to some quick hitters. You got to like what you saw to Zach Hyman the other night.
I like the whole line, to be honest with you. I thought Hyman, Nugent Hopkins, and Yamamoto were very effective. I mean, Zach Hyman, I haven't seen him play too many bad games. You and I did the Toronto series last year head-to-head. You and I had a lot of those games together, and we both agreed that Zach Hyman was the best Maple Leaf all season against the Oilers head-to-head. I mean, he was the most effective guy. Not Matthews, not Tavares, not any of their other guys. He was the most effective. So I can't say I'm completely surprised. I think Ryan Nugent-Hopkins prefers playing center. And Tyler Yamamoto, even when he was in the midst of his slump late last season, the goal share didn't change. You know, the numbers for and against changed, but they changed at the same ratio because he can play it two ways too.
All right, very quickly, Flames. They might have the toughest team in the league. Does Edmonton even bother engaging, or do you try to intimidate with your power play?
Well, I think not just their power play, but their speed. I mean, they have a huge advantage in overall team speed. It's a little curious that it looks like Blake Coleman's going to start the year on the fourth line for Calgary. I think, you know, certainly if I'm Danny DeBay, if I'm Trevor Lewis, I've got my kind of head in the rearview mirror with a guy like Blake Coleman lurking there. There is some depth on Calgary. There really is. Rasmus Anderson needs to have a much better year than he had last season, and Noah Hanifin needs to assert himself and prove that you know, there's a reason he was a top 10 pick. He's got a tremendous opportunity. I heard your conversation with Brad Treliving. Though that first pair for Calgary, Anderson needs to bounce back, and Hanifin needs to, you know, put himself in the top 25, top 30 conversation this year.
All right, Jack, we're at it tomorrow night. Thanks for your time.
See you.
All right, into this day in Oilers history, and it involves a former Oiler all year long for the last several years, New West Travel, and they will have some Oilers roadies coming up, Dennis and Jason Laliberte. Brendan Escott, what happened on this date back in 1989? I remember it well.
Well, playing with Los Angeles against the Oilers, Wayne Gretzky has two goals and an assist to become the NHL's all-time leading scorer. The Kings beat the Oilers 5-4 in overtime at Northlands.
There you have it. Tonight on 6:30, Chad, the 2-6 Edmonton Elks host the best team in the CFL, the 8-1 Winnipeg Blue Bombers. Countdown to kickoff starts at 5:30, game time 7 p.m. with Morley Scott, Dave Campbell, Blake Dermott, and a cast of thousands. Tomorrow, Battle of Alberta live from Rogers Place. Reed Wilkins, Rob Brown, Jack, Cam Moon, and myself will have the call of tomorrow night's game, 8 p.m. puck drop, 6:30 face-off show. Up next, the global news weather traffic update with Eileen Bell, followed by Rob Breckenridge from 2 to 3, and then 6:30 Chet Afternoons today with guest host Ted Henley. Have a wonderful weekend, everybody. I'll join you tomorrow night at 6:30.
Oilers Now with Bob Stauffer. Weekdays at noon on Oilers Radio, 6:30 Chad.